Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap Today territory, along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr. I am Gary Dahl, and of course, in just a few minutes, when we get into the second segment, we will be delighted to have our Washington Beat correspondent, David New, with us. And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the pleasure of your company wherever you might be on this day that the Lord has given to us to rejoice and to be glad in it. One of the things that we want to encourage you folks to remember is that here on Stand in the Gap Today, we will do everything that we can to keep before you everything that relates, or most of the things that relate, to the upcoming presidential election 2016. We believe that Christians must be informed so that they can vote biblically. And so on a consistent basis, we are going to be sharing with you the various things that we find out so that you might be able to put all that together and pray about it. And then come both the primary elections and the general election, you'll be able to vote biblically. But we just found out, Sam Rohr, that Donald Trump, who says he's very proud to be a Presbyterian and is saying that he's going to run for the presidency, and at least is indicating that. And if he does decide to ultimately run for the president, he will be the, quote, greatest representative, end quote, Christians have seen in a long, long time. I think he's talking about the fact that many Christians are under persecution. Many Christians are finding that the thumb of society is upon them. Islam is rising up. The government in so many areas seems to be shaking the finger at those who are Christians. Donald Trump said, as you know, I'm Protestant, I'm Presbyterian. Most people don't know that. They have no idea. I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of it. And then he said he's going to be the greatest representative Christians have had in a long time. Sam, what do you think about that one?
Well, Gary, I like what he's saying. There's no question about it. And I think that perhaps perhaps his forthrightness and what he's saying may be of great encouragement to the other candidates. At the end of the day, we spent a lot of time talking about his program, but very clearly, Christians are being increasingly relegated to the back seat by a postmodern culture, by those who are wanting to throw off the rule of law and the fear of God. And I mean, that's why we're in such big trouble in this society. So to have a candidate talk in those terms, it is the right area, I think, to talk about. Now, we could discuss whether or not we believe that Donald Trump, in fact, will do what he says, or in fact, that, you know, that if he says he is a Christian, what's that mean? I'm reading a quote. He says, as far as church attendance, I go there as much as I can, always on Christmas, always on Easter, and whenever there's a major occasion.
So he's a priester.
Well, he's a priester. So, he says that I'm also a Sunday church person. I go when I'm able, but I go on those 2 days of the year. Now, so I believe, though, that we can then talk about, we've talked about in this program before, we as God's people must be thinking in terms of evaluating our candidates from a biblical perspective. What does God say about them? Mm-hmm. So to talk in terms of there is a God, there is, I believe in the Bible, this is the place to begin some discussion. Then we can go in and start talking about, well, define what you mean, Donald Trump. Define what you mean, Ted Cruz. Define what you mean about some of these other things, Marco Rubio and Rand Paul, as an example. Now we're getting someplace when we start going down that path. So I would like to think, positive perspective, he's opened up a good avenue for further discussion.
And that further discussion is something not only for us to do in this radio program, but for the other candidates to talk about. And I think, Sam, you mentioned that. This brings this to the table. And Dave, that's a little bit different than what Hillary said. I don't know. I don't have the piece before me right now, but within the past week, you know, she made a statement against Christians and basically said that she's tired of these, you know, these Christian principles by which we live and so forth and so on. I mean, she seemingly is, though she's a Methodist, she seemingly is turning her back on Christian principles and even the foundation upon which this nation was established.
Well, Gary, I think Sam said it well. This is a great place to begin to open up a line of communication about what these candidates really believe. I am not at all suggesting, I'm sure Sam is not, nor are you, Gary, that Donald Trump is a genuine born-again Christian. However, this is not the first time he's made statements like this, that he believes Christians are being maligned and relegated to second class status. So I have no doubt, you know, that if he were to run, if he were to certainly be elected, he would probably follow through on that commitment that he's made to be the greatest friend Christians have had in a long time. However, it is a great thing, and I think it will spur others to begin to looking at this in a very realistic and productive way. I'll use that term. However, Gary, what you said about Hillary Clinton, what I see is this. I see her recent comments, even as late as yesterday, by Vice President Joe Biden, and certainly what President Obama has even done relative to this past Sunday being a day of trying to recognize those that are of the LGBT community and those that are against the LGBT community being called Islamophobic or, excuse me, homophobic, attacking them. I think everyone on the Democratic side. Yeah. Sorry for the slip there. But anyway, everybody on the Democratic side is coming out as being anti-Christian.
Yeah,
it was a Freudian slip. Forgive me.
And you were out in the golf course the other day, weren't you?
Well, I was out in the sun a lot Tuesday and was out in the sun a lot this morning, so I'll blame it on that.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't thinking of that, but nevertheless, we won't go down that road.
Okay.
Sam, you know, it's interesting. We are up against an election this time when a lot of people are talking about being a Christian. I just heard Marco Rubio say a week or so ago that he got saved years ago. I think he said when he was a teenager, if I'm not mistaken, though he does attend a Catholic church. You know, I remember back in 1976, I guess it was, when Jimmy Carter was running. 76 was considered the year of the evangelical because he said he's a born-again Christian. Do you think we're going to get back into that discussion as we go into the 2016 election?
Gary, in some respects, I would like for us to get back to that position. You know, in this culture where we have a developing, we talk a lot about the Islamic, the Muslim influence, ISIS, and postmodern individuals that ridicule Christ and so forth, that if we begin talking in terms of Christian and Christian principles and talk about Bible principles, Gary, we are on the right track for helping to solve our problems. Good place to go.
Indeed. It at least brings the subject to the forefront, which is a very good thing to consider. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we are going to be having our dear friend David New with our Washington beat. He always gets us going, and so you won't want to miss it, so I would encourage you to stay tuned. And after this break, Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, and I will be back with David New to talk about things that affect you. That's poetry. See you in a bit.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. We're often asked questions that go like this. What's the best way to communicate with elected officials on issues or proposals that I care about? Is it a phone call? Do emails work? If I write a letter, should it be handwritten? Well, we're glad to hear those questions because it shows the questioners care enough to get involved. Well, what we have found to be most effective is face-to-face visits. And to do that with state lawmakers is not hard since they're in their district office at least 2 days a week. But if you can't make that happen, the rule of thumb is the more personal, the better. A phone call or letter that you write is good. Emails work too, but are best when delivered in quantity with lots of people writing. One thing that we know does not work, and that is staying silent. Sadly, too many people choose that option and then get the government they deserve. Find out more about the Pennsylvania Family Institute and how to take action at our website at pafamily.org.
On Memorial Day, we honor those who've given their lives in battle so we can live in freedom. But when it comes to memorials, God says there's more to it than just remembering. In Joshua chapter 4, God instituted the concept of memorials and the deeper reason for them. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Upon rolling back the waters of the Jordan River, God instructed the nation of Israel to cross over into the promised land, take 12 stones, and place them on the riverbank as a memorial, a visible reminder to the next generation of the greatness of Jehovah God. In the future, when your children see this memorial and they ask why it's there, you must remind them that it's God who opened the waters of the Red Sea, that it's God who gave victory over the enemy, and that it's God alone who preserves, blesses, and defends. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, urging you on this Memorial Day, while remembering the sacrifice of earthly heroes, remember even more our awesome and great God, to whom all glory and honor are due.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Sam Rohr, I just have got to say that I appreciated your comment that we just heard on Memorial Day. I think that that might even give some pastors some fodder for their sermons, and thank you. That was well done. I hope you got to hear it.
I just listened to it, yes. No, but little things like that, Gary. I mean, just the practical application of the events of the day. The Word of God speaks to every issue of life. That's what we try to do in this program, certainly. But every issue the Scripture talks about, and when we really go down that road, things come alive, don't they? Which is why we need to talk to our guest here today now.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, from Washington is our Washington beat, David New. David, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Nice to be with you, pastors. It's nice to be here.
It's always a delight to have you with us because you've always got something new for us to consider.
Well, one of the things I would like to briefly discuss with you today is an alarming development that is just shocking, and that is the worldwide increase in suicides on this planet. It is just unbelievable. In the last 45 years, the rate of suicide has increased by 60%, and the World Health Organization expects the rate of suicide to double in the next 5 years by 2020. I'm sad to say that in the United States, according to the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. It's number 10. And from ages of 15 to 24, it's number 3, which is incredible. Wow. Young people are taking their lives at alarming rates. From the age group of 25 to 34, it is the second largest cause of death in the United States. This is people that are just starting out life at 25 to 34, and they're killing themselves. And what's also shocking, a very sad development, is that the number of suicides, the raw number for suicides, now exceeds the death as a result of motor vehicles. Around 33,000 in 2010, 33,687 people died as a result of motor vehicles. In the United States, in 2010, 38,364 people died because of suicide, which runs about 105 people per day commit suicide in the United States. It is just alarming.
Well, that is alarming, and, you know, I suppose we've all known of people who have committed suicide down through the years, and as a pastor, I know I've counseled a lot of people who at least have claimed that they've been thinking about committing suicide and so forth and so on. In the research that you've done, David, have you been able to find any reasoning as to why people actually do commit suicide, and secondly, why the statistics are so high these days?
Oh, the statistics are extremely high, and it is predominantly a male feature in the sense that it's about 80% men who commit suicide and about 20% women do it. And in the United States, the favorite way of committing suicide is with the gun. About 56 to 60% of people who commit suicide use a gun, at least the men do. The women in the United States, I'm sad to say, of course, use poison. By abusing drugs and taking an overdose. If you go to countries like India and a lot of other places like that, the favorite method of committing suicide is by taking pesticides and drinking pesticides. So it's just an unbelievable situation. And for about every 25 attempted suicides, one succeeds. So it's just a horrible situation. And I think that part of this can be explained through Bible prophecy to some extent, because I think the days and the signs of the times would indicate that would be the situation. If you look at the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, in the 21st chapter, the 26th verse, and of course this is where Jesus is giving the prophecies of the last days. Very similar to Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, which most people are quite familiar with. But in Luke 21, verse 26, in the Amplified Version, it gives a highly suggestive indication that suicide is going to be a very prominent feature in the last days. It says, "Men swooning away or expiring with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world. For the very powers of the heavens will be shaken and caused to totter." Now that to me sounds like somebody's committing suicide. And they're just so frightened by the events of the times that's why they're doing it. So it's a very bad situation. On the West Coast where I grew up in Marin County, one of the dark secrets about the Golden Gate Bridge. A lot of people love that bridge. I've been over it 1,000 times because I'm from Marin County. in that. That is a favorite suicide spot. It's one of the top suicide spots in the world. Most people don't know that. But since that bridge has been in operation since 1937, 1,600 people have been confirmed to have committed suicide from that bridge. And every year, there's at least 40 to around 35 to 40 people commit suicide from jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And they just recently funded $76 million to spend to put nets underneath the Golden Gate Bridge to stop these people, to save their lives. And they hope to get them up and running by 2019. So it's really something that this is something you never hear about the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's one of the top sites in the world to commit suicide.
Well, and it's a beautiful place out there, too. Sam? Hello, Sam?
Yeah. Yes, Gary. Yes, sir.
Do you think that this might be something that is demonic? I mean, I remember a number of years ago doing some reading on suicide, and the author that I was reading basically said that this is a demonic attack even upon Christians at times, just to get them to think that life is not worthwhile. And as we know, Satan works in the minds of people. Do you think that a lot of that is satanic, where he will just put this thought into the hearts and the minds of people to take their lives? I mean, that goes along with John 10:10, does it not?
Well, I think it does, and it certainly fits the character and the nature of the devil, Satan, upcoming Antichrist, from the standpoint that this, everything that God is, he's the opposite. So God is about life and living, and Christ, redemption and new life and new beginning. The devil is all about taking life and destruction and tearing down. And so the devil is the one that would tell people that you are of no value. Just go ahead and as you say, kill yourself or do whatever. On the other hand, it's the good news of the gospel that tells people that there's hope, that there's a direction, there's new life. You don't have to do this way. So for that to be something associated with what the devil does, I think it's very, very clear by the very character and nature of who he is and what he's competing against. And certainly, if a person commits suicide, having not trusted Christ as their Savior, where will they spend eternity? Not in heaven, which is the direct reason why Christ came, the plan of redemption. The devil, he thinks he has won. In fact, he has won in that life, because that person will be lost for eternity. So I think we do need to think about these things, both in the those who have not yet trusted Christ, but also in a believer's life, of saying we must not let ourselves to get down and so discouraged and despondent that we may think those kind of things too, because we have the power, we have Christ, we have the joy that comes with him. And so I think this is a juxtaposition, a contrast in life that we see all the way through history, Gary and Dave.
You know, Gary, if I could follow up on what Sam just had to say, the John 10:10 passage, Gary, that you referenced says this, referring to the wicked one, that he comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the word kill actually comes from the Greek word thuo. That's the root word, and it has the connotation of a sacrifice, to kill in a sacrificial or even a ritualistic manner. So is it possible that what the devil is doing is planting into the minds of people in these days, when the scripture very plainly says that in the last days men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons? Is it possible, as David New was alluding to, that there will be a ratcheting up of suicide the closer we get to the end? I think that is a legitimate point to be made, and I think that's probably what's happening. In the midst of all of that is the life offered by Jesus Christ, and of course that's the message we want to strongly declare today.
You know, we're going to be back with David New after the break. We want to talk a little bit more about this subject of suicide. The question that I want to throw out is, and this comes to me many, many times, what happens to a Christian who commits suicide? When we get back, we'll talk about that. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today with David Kistler, Sam Rohr, David New, and I'm Gary Dull. Don't go away. We will be back with more right after this.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. More help for Iraqi troops against Islamic State terrorists. 2,000 anti-tank rockets.
The weapons are meant to help destroy suicide truck bombs that ISIS used in Ramadi to blow up buildings, which enabled the Islamic militants to capture the capital of the Anbar province. Iraqi forces fled Ramadi, leaving behind vehicles and weapons given to them by the U.S. and other countries.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher. More members of cleanup crews are being added to beaches in central California affected by an oil spill. Fox's Adam Housley's in Goleta.
The coast has been shut down a mile in each direction and a mile out into the sea, not allowed for any fishing or shellfish harvesting. And it really has blanketed a significant area of a popular beach and also affecting a lot of the marine life and sanctuaries, at least threatening them.
Oil poured from a broken pipeline into a storm drain reaching the Pacific. Fox News.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The American Red Cross was organized this day, May 21, 1881, by Clara Barton, a school teacher who had moved to Washington at the outbreak of the Civil War. She distributed relief supplies to wounded soldiers and, at the request of President Lincoln, aided in searching for missing men. She helped victims in Europe during the Franco-German War, working with Henry Dunant, founder of the International Red Cross. President Woodrow Wilson recognized those in this great service, stating, "Being members of the American Red Cross, this cross which these ladies bore here today is an emblem of Christianity itself."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with David Kistler, Sam Rohr, David New, and I'm Gary Dahl. We are talking about the alarming and worldwide increase of the number of suicides. David New brought it up, and of course, before we went into the break, I asked the question that many have asked me, what about Christians who commit suicide? We talked a little bit ago about unsaved people who commit suicide, but what about Christians who commit suicide? And we're going to answer that question, but before we do that, I'm going to defer to Sam. Sam, you have a question you want to ask.
Gary, I do. Just in a break, I was just talking with a friend of mine who has a son who's a colonel in the military and does a lot of intervention work with military guys. And of course, on this program, we're very supportive of those who are in the military fighting for our freedoms. But I know that one of the things that have been mentioned is that the military is dealing with this issue. and have noted a significant increase. And it's a big issue for those who are in leadership positions having to deal with that. My question to you, David, do you have any statistics, or maybe David Kistler, you may have some statistics on this as well, of what the suicide rate is among those who are in the military? Has that kind of an increase seen a similar rise, or is it greater, smaller? And I'll throw in this in, is perhaps the cause different, maybe, in the military, or is it simply a reflection of the broader cultural change? David New first, see if you have anything.
I don't have any data on that, but I think that their situation is slightly different. I think it is directly related to their situation in combat.
Well, you know, that's interesting because that is the case even with, I understand, with the people who are involved with the police. You know, many policemen end up taking their lives. I mean, the stress level is very, very high, not knowing what they've got to face day in and day out. So in essence, they are in, as it were, a circle of combat. And so David New, I would think that, you know, that would relate both to law enforcement as well as those who are in combat.
Sam, if I could follow up.
I agree. Oh, please go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
I apologize, David, but I do have actually hard numbers on that from the Department of Defense. And it is about 98 people per quarter commit suicide within the military. And the breakdown for the first quarter of 2014 was 74 active service members committed suicide, 24 reserve members, and then 22 for the National Guard. So if you extrapolate that out over the course of a year, it comes to be close to 400 per year commit suicide in the military. And I don't have the hard numbers directly from this report, but I do speak very regularly and have spoken just very recently with those in the military. And the reason they give for the increase in suicide up to this point in recent years has been the multiple deployments that our active duty members of the military have to serve. Repeat deployments in Iraq, Afghanistan, other places around the world. They're away from their homes, they're away from their families, and that increases the stress level, PTSD, which is a very real thing. All of that factors in and creates an increase among those that are active duty members.
David New, is this new to our generation, or has suicide always been so high down through the years?
Oh, no, this is unique and new to this generation. As I say, the increases are phenomenal, according to the World Health Organization. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have some of these statistics that I have given out today, you simply go to www.cdc, that stands for Centers for Disease Control, .gov for government, and simply go to the search page and go to and just put the word suicide, and you'll get a fact sheet, and you'll have a lot of the information. I feel led of the Lord at this moment immediately, because we could have a listener who may have improper thoughts along these lines. Let us go to the Father in prayer very briefly. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, if anyone is in our audience today who is having improper thoughts along these lines, we ask, dear Father, that you would touch them, touch their heart, make them realize that there is hope. There is hope through Jesus Christ. Dear Father, bring them back to a faith, to a good life and a healthy life. There is hope in Jesus' name. And if anyone is listening and is having improper thoughts along these lines, go to church, go to a church that honors the Word of God, read the Book of Psalms. There is hope for you, my friend.
You know, David Newts, I appreciate you doing that and praying for those folk. Many years ago, of course, you know, I've always pastored churches, it seemed, it's been on the radio. And many years ago, I was preaching a message on the abundant life that's in Jesus Christ. And from John chapter 10 and verse 10. And after the service was over, I received a phone call, and a fellow had called the church and said he was literally on his way to a bridge with a rope.
Oh.
And he was going to put the rope around his neck, jump off that bridge, and hang himself. And he heard me preaching on John chapter 10, where it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly," is what Christ said. And he did trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. In Jesus Christ, there's new life, life eternal and life abundant. But David Kistler, what about the Christian? What about the Christian that takes his life? I remember a number of years ago, a good Christian in my church that I pastored. One Sunday morning, he went out the door, shook my hand, and talked very positively about the message that I delivered. Within 1 hour, his wife called and said that he went out into the garage and committed suicide. Now, I've often thought, I sure hope that's not the effect of my sermon. But you know, what about the Christian that takes his life? Number one, what leads him or her to that? And then secondly, what about them for all of eternity?
Well, Gary, I think what leads somebody to that place, and by the way, I have counseled some people very, very close to me about this very topic. People get into a state of despair and they lose, as David knew, and I'm so thrilled he prayed and used the word hope, because there is great hope available. When people lose hope, then, Gary, they are in a very, very dangerous position. However, if I could say this to answer your question, there is great hope in Jesus Christ. One of the greatest passages in all the Bible that talks about a believer committing suicide, I believe, is in Judges 16, verse 30, where Samson, greatly used of God, made some wrong decisions, disastrous decisions, got into a situation where in the end of his life, blinded by the Philistines, basically said to God, "Let me die with the Philistines." He put one hand on a pillar to his right, another hand on a pillar to his left. Those massive pillars supported a building that was filled with Philistines. The roof was absolutely loaded with Philistine men and women. And the Lord gave him strength to push those pillars down. And in essence, it was a death wish on Samson's part, and he did die with the Philistines, but it was basically a suicide attempt. And he was successful in his attempt. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, though, Samson is mentioned in the great hall of faith, those that knew Christ as Savior. So is it possible for a Christian to commit suicide? I believe the answer is a very unequivocal yes. Does it mean that they've committed the unpardonable sin? It does not. Does it mean they ended their life early? Of course. Does it mean that they're going to go to hell as a result of that act? I do not believe the scripture teaches that at all. And I think Samson is a classic example of a man who committed suicide, but is going to be in heaven and we're going to meet him one day.
Sam Rohr, will there be an accountability given to God by somebody some Christian who takes his or her life? And what do you think that accountability factor will be?
Well, Gary, you know, I think that there is, in fact, you know, really by rights, it's the Lord who gives us life and breathes into us the breath of life. That's a gift from God. Properly understood and properly dealt with, it is He who then ushers us into eternity. For us to hasten our death, either by eating wrong foods, putting things in our body, drugs, alcohol, those kinds of things that prematurely hasten our death. Those kind of things are not what a Christian ought to do, because it removes our ability to be used by God in a way that He just might wish for us to be used. And so that's why at the end of the day we'd say, no, you cannot do it. And I think there will be some answering to God for that very reason. So it's not something that should be done, although I agree 100% with what David Kistler said. It does not mean if one does, he's going to go to hell or lose his salvation. I don't think that's there either.
Gary,
well,
our time is
up for this particular segment, and so we are going to have to go. But I want to thank David New for bringing up this subject. I mean, it's an exceptionally good subject to consider. And David New, if you can, just for a few minutes, stay on after this break, if you can.
Sure.
And there's another question or two or comment that I think we need to make with regard to this particular subject. So if you can stay tuned or stay on, David, I'd appreciate that. And for the rest of you, just stay tuned. We will be back with more right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
A settled plan to deprive the people of all benefits, blessings, and ends of the contract, to subvert the fundamentals of the Constitution, to deprive of all share in making and executing laws, will justify a revolution. A quote from John Adams, 1774.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back to our final segment here in Stand in the Gap Today, along with David Kistler, David New, and Sam Rohr. We are talking about this idea of suicide. And David, I think, David Kistler, before we went into the break, I think that you had a comment or something, a statement that you wanted to make, maybe directed to David New. So go ahead, brother.
Well, Gary, more than anything, it was just a comment. I think suicide, based on what we have been discussing and what Sam said, which was a great point, in many ways, it's the ultimate expression of selfishness on the part of someone who wants to end their life, not thinking about anyone else or anything else but themselves. And I don't say that in any way to be demeaning or negative. It's just true. It's a very selfish act, but it is not an act that would result in sending automatically just by nature of committing suicide. It just means they're going to go to hell. Even if they're a believer, it does not mean that. But it is a very selfish act. The other thing I wanted to say very, very quickly is this, because I don't know who we have listening today, but gentlemen, I remember vividly in the first crusade we did in Washington, D.C., a man came by the tent early one morning, left an 8-page letter with our head of security, and asked the head of security to give that letter to me. When I arrived about 30 minutes later, I read through that letter. It was one of the most stunning things I've ever read in my life. The gentleman said, "Last night I was in the service and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." He said, "Here's my background. I was negotiating a contract for the Department of Defense in Washington, D.C. I'd come from another state outside the Washington area, well outside the Washington area, staying in a local D.C. hotel. After I negotiated my contract," he said, "I'd gone to the top floor of the hotel, was going to hurl my body out of the window of my hotel, which not only opened, it wouldn't latch. He said, I was going to jump out, didn't have the courage to do that. Went for a walk. He said, I heard music. He said, I couldn't tell where it was coming from. He said, the further I walked toward the music, I realized it's coming out of that big red and white tent, which was our tent. And he said, I came, sat in the service, and he said, my life was absolutely transformed. And not only did I not commit suicide, I'm going back home a changed man. Now, I want to say this for anyone that's listening to us out there. That kind of hope, the hope that Sam Rohr was talking about, the hope that David New is talking about, the hope that we prayed about moments ago, that kind of hope is available in the person of Jesus Christ. So if we can help you in any way, we'd be delighted to do that.
And we're going to give a phone number after a bit here that you can call if indeed you might be an individual who is considering suicide right now. We do want to help you. But before I give you that number, I want to go to you again, David New, and perhaps you've got some final comments you'd like to make on this particular subject for our audience. David?
I think the main thing for people that are going down this path or considering it is that usually they consider it's the only option. That's usually what happens when it becomes a very narrow path. There's only one path, take your life. There is no way out. There are no other options. My friend, that is not true. That is a lie straight from hell. There is hope. There are other options. Your life can improve. Just trust in God, and all can be made right. God can fix it.
Yeah, God can fix it. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. If you are contemplating suicide right now, we have a number to give to you. Sam, would you like to relay that number, please, to our folks out there, and particularly to somebody who's right on edge right now and who is looking for help?
Gary, I can. Folks, if you are in that category, call this number, 610-901-3607. That's 610-901-3607. And if you're not able to talk to someone live, leave your message and someone will call you right back. But we do care for you who may be in that category today. You are worth it. God loves you, and so do we.
Mm. That's right.
You know, we've made several references to John chapter 10 and verse 10, ladies and gentlemen, where Jesus said in reference to Satan, I believe, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy." The devil will do all that he can to kill, steal things from you, destroy your life. whether you are a born-again believer or not, the devil just wants to destroy people. The Bible says that he, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour.
Yes.
He's out to get anybody. I've often said if you're unsaved, he's out to keep you unsaved. If you're saved, he's out there to try to destroy your life and your testimony. So you never know how he may be attacking you. I think this idea of suicide is one of the fiery darts of the wicked that is cast at us. And so, you know, remember the rest of that verse, though. Even though the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus says, I'm come that they might have life. That's eternal life. And the life of God that will be lived out in eternity in heaven, in a land without tears, in a time without end. Jesus offers that eternal life. And then he says, I offer life that's abundant. That is a life that is worth living. And it could very well be that right now you are an individual who you just feel as though life isn't worth living. Maybe you're in drugs. Maybe you're in alcohol. Maybe your family's falling apart. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've got physical issues. I don't know. But there is life worth living in Christ. That's why I have said for years, keep looking up, for the best is yet to come. Because when you look up to the Lord through faith in Christ for salvation and then for daily strength, the best is yet to come. So don't hesitate to call us. Sam Rohr, please give that phone number again if there's somebody right there who is searching at this particular point in time for a life that's worth living.
Gary, glad to do so. 610-901-3607 is the number to call. 610-901-3607.
And if you call that number and there's no one there, certainly somebody will get back to you from the American Pastors Network. We do want to help you. David New, I'm glad you brought this particular subject up. Very, very practical for many people. I think it was beneficial, worthwhile. Thank you for considering it today.
Well, thank you so much, and blessings to you and to the listeners.
Yes. And, you know, folks, we talk about a lot of things on this program. Of course, we deal with the issues from the perspective of the United States Constitution and the Word of God. But when it comes down to it, the most important thing for anybody to keep in mind is their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I do not know who you are. There's no way even the four of us put together could come up with what you're going through. We don't know those things. But God knows you. God sees you. You know, we're coming up on Memorial Day. It's interesting. I've been doing some study in the scriptures even this morning about the things that God remembers. God remembers you because he made you. Turn to him through faith in Jesus Christ and receive that eternal and abundant life that's only found in Jesus Christ. Again, that number, if you want to use it, is 610-901-3607. David New, thank you for being with us. And ladies and gentlemen, until tomorrow, I'm Gary Dahl on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.